Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Blog Talk Radio, you're listening to The Best Hour with your host Tony Williamson and the Mighty Companions. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/course mastery, or just search for us at Blog Talk Radio, The Best Hour. Each day during The Best Hour broadcast, we journey into a better understanding of A Course in Miracles. With over 2 million copies in print, this beautiful scripture, first published in 1975, has been translated into many languages worldwide. If you want to talk with our host during the broadcast today, just dial 347-324-5114, 347-324-5114. And now, here's your host for the best hour, Tony Williamson.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. So glad to be back with you this Friday morning, April 11th. We're going to be talking about workbook lesson 101 today, 101 workbook lessons, and this will kind of turn a corner today, I think, as well, just simply because things are shifting. We now have a good, solid foundation in our understanding of the basic premise, if you will, of the course through our first 100 lessons. We've discovered forgiveness, that is, forgiveness as our brother Christ Jesus knew it and tried to communicate it with us, but we didn't always get it, certainly, not for the last couple thousand years, except in rare cases, if you will. But we've understanding now a little bit about the ego and how it uses guilt as a means to keep us bound into an idea of ourselves that is not true, because we could not change what God has created, but we could make God in our own image, and we have. And in that process, we've really denied what God really is. We are going to finish today, I'm determined to do this, is to finish chapter 10. We're in the last section, and the title of this section is The Denial of God. And the logic here, the reasoning here, okay, is crystal clear. And so I hope that you'll join me in understanding that this is so wonderful. And the way he articulates this and brings this truth out, it just vibrates right through me, you know, because it makes it so easy for us to really begin to disregard ego mind. And it makes it easy for us to let go of this crazy idea that we could be separate from God, that we could actually, you know, do something to change what God has created, that we could usurp his power, that we could literally create ourselves, and that we're subject to punishment from our Father, from our very Creator, the Creator that is only love. Love is the only thing that's eternal. That's it. There's no gap in there in the authentic, real love of God, unconditional, something we don't understand, but something that the ego certainly doesn't understand, because it has its own cheap made up idea of what love is. But the love of God is so far beyond, and that's not the purpose of this course. It's not, his purpose is not to teach love, because that's beyond what can be taught. Real love, the love of our Father, the love of our Creator, the love of the source of all that is beyond what can be taught. But it can be experienced. It can be felt. You can feel it. And you have felt it many, many times in its authentic vibration. But our mind quickly floods with the ego's resistance, and suddenly we're back to the ego's definition of love. But when we quit denying God, it doesn't mean that we're going to be punished. The denial of God, this blasphemy that we might hold ourselves to this idea that we're being blasphemous to God, that we could do something to God, that we have so much power. Oh, yes, you have so much power that you can affect the mind of God. Well, get over it. Get over it. God is only love. You cannot change love, not from what it really is. You cannot make love not love. This is very powerful. You cannot make love not love. You cannot change what love is. Not real love. You never could. So you can make God up in your own image if you'd like to, and then you can, project out guilt onto the world for that blasphemy that the world certainly seems to witness to, that we don't love God, and, that we have the power to hurt God, and all of these crazy ideas that we define as blasphemy. But as we discuss this today, we're going to get a chance to really start to look within and begin to recognize the truth that the only one that you could possibly ever be blasphemous against would be your own true self. You cannot change how God feels with your illusions about yourself. You cannot change love. Love is the only thing that's real. It's the only thing that's eternal. And it is what you are, ultimately, as you begin to return to the truth of yourself. So it's really as much a denial of self, the real you, as Buddha called it, true self, and as much as it is a denial of God. So the only one that you're really hurting, if there were such a thing, would be yourself, and there is no such a thing. You can only dream about these things, as we've discovered in this very chapter, chapter 10. So let's jump in as we finish up the last section in this chapter, chapter 10, section 5, the denial of God. The rituals of the God of sickness, which we talked about yesterday, the God of sickness, okay, which is the ego. And we're defining the ego as the God of sickness, okay? The rituals of this God of sickness are strange and very demanding. Joy is never permitted. We get these little glimpses and these brief flashes of joy and love. As I said, you've experienced love many, many times, but we are forced to let go of it as the ego wants to rip it out of our hand simply because it wants us to pay attention to an illusion, and its rituals are strange and very demanding. And joy is never permitted, for depression is the sign of allegiance to him, that is, the ego, if you will, this God of sickness. Depression means that you have forsworn God. Many are afraid of blasphemy, but they do not understand what it means. They do not realize that to deny God is to deny what it means. Excuse me, to deny God is to deny their own identity. Capital I, identity. In other words, your true self, your capital S self, is to deny yourself. And in this sense, the wages of sin is death. In other words, the ego would have us believe death is real, this God of sickness. And as long as we have forsworn God, and as long as we are afraid of blasphemy and don't understand what it means, that we don't recognize that to deny God is to deny our own identity. And what if we deny our own identity, we're saying that we're not eternal, that we are not love, that we are not made in God's own image, because God is eternal. And to do that is, in this sense, the wages of sin is death. And the sense is very literal. Denial of life perceives its opposite. Death, right, is the opposite of life. So denial of life perceives its opposite. Remember, we're just perceiving things with an ego thought system. We don't know anything anymore. That's why we need to rejoin with the voice for God, the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than our right mind, that helps us let go of our self-perception that we've created out of nothing. As all forms of denial replace what is with what is not, we're denying ourselves. And in this, we're replacing what is what we really are, which is perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it, this perfect child of God. And in that denial, right, we replace our idea of, what we really are with our idea of what we are, which is not what we are. No one can really do this. But that you can think you can and even believe you have is beyond dispute. Do not forget that to deny God will inevitably result in projection. And you will believe that others and not yourself have done this to you. You must receive the message you give because it is the message that you want. You may believe that you judge your brothers by the messages they give to you. Listen to this sentence. This is very important. You might believe that you judge people by the messages they give you, but you have judged them by the messages you give to them. You see somebody as harmful. You see somebody as mean. You see somebody as hateful. You see somebody as anything other than what they truly are, which is Christ, right there. You're the one that's putting the message out there. You're the one that's sending out the messengers. And you judge your brothers by the messages that you give to them. Do not attribute your denial of joy to them, or you cannot see the spark in them that would bring joy to you. There is a spark of joy in every brother and sister. It is the denial of the spark that brings depression, for whatever or whenever you see your brothers without it, you are denying God. Allegiance to the denial of God is the ego's religion. Little God of sickness obviously demands the denial of health, because health is a direct opposition to its own survival. The ego needs you to believe in sickness for it to survive. But it is not you. And you are not sick. Or could ever any of your brothers and sisters be sick in reality? Because God did not create sickness. This is a construct of ego mind. But consider what this means to you. Unless you are sick, you cannot keep the gods that you made, this ego, for only in sickness could you possibly want them. Blasphemy, then, is self-destructive, God-destructive. It means that you're willing not to know yourself in order to be sick. You're willing to literally not know yourself in order to be sick. This is the offering your God, small God, demands, because having made this God out of your insanity, this God, this ego mind, is an insane idea. And this ego mind has many forms. This God of sickness has many forms, but although he may seem to be many different forms, many different things, he is only one idea, the denial of God. The denial of your very creator. Sickness and death seemed, doesn't make it real. It's an appearance. It's a misperception. Sickness and death seemed to enter the mind of God's child, God's son, God's daughter, against their will. Excuse me. Against his will, against God's will. Excuse me. Let's read this one again. Sickness and death seemed to enter the mind of God's son against God's will, his God's will. Attack on God, quote unquote, made his son think he was fatherless. And out of his depression, he made the small god of depression. He made this ego, which is a god of depression. And this was his alternative to joy, because he would not accept the fact that although he was a creator, we could say a co-creator with our Father, with our source of life and love, he, this child of God, had been created. He could accept the fact, or excuse me, he would not accept the fact that he had been created. This is our only alternative to joy if we will not accept the fact that we've been created. Yet this son is helpless, you and I, without our Father, without the Father, who alone is our only help. Now again, our brother Christ Jesus, speaking directly to us in first person, says, I said before that of yourself you can do nothing. But you are not of yourself. If you were, what you made would be true, and you could never escape. It is because you did not make yourself that you need be troubled over nothing. You did not make yourself. So you don't need to be troubled about anything. Your small gods, our gods of sickness, are nothing. Because our Father, your Father, did not create them. You cannot make creators who are unlike your creator. You cannot make creators who are unlike your creator any more than he, God, could have created a son who was unlike him. If creation is sharing, it cannot create what is unlike itself. God could not create, in this sentence, he's saying God could not create you unlike himself. Creation, it, can share only what it is. Depression is isolation, and so it could not have been created. As I said earlier, the logic, the reasoning, the clear communication that our brother Jesus is giving us here in this is just, it's beautiful. I mean, it's absolutely profound. Son of God, you have not sinned. But you have been much mistaken. Yet this can be corrected, and God will help you. Knowing that you could not sin against him, you denied him because you loved him. Knowing that if you recognize your love for him, that you could not deny him. Your denial of him, therefore, means that you love him. Thank God and hallelujah. And you do love God. And that you know he loves you. Remember that what you deny, you must have once known. What you deny, you must have once known. And if you accept denial, you can also accept the undoing of denial. You can also accept letting go of that judgment. Your Father has not denied you. And he does not retaliate, but he does call to you to return home, to return. When you think he has not answered your call, then you simply just have not answered his call. He, God, calls to you from every part of the sonship, because of his love for his child, for you. If you hear his, God's message, if you hear his message, he has answered you, and you will learn of him if you hear it aright. You will learn of God if you turn within and listen to nothing more than your right mind, the Holy Spirit. You will learn of your Father. The love of God is in everything he created for his Son, is everywhere. This is such a beautiful, these two sentences right here. I sent this to a friend this morning who was troubled about a situation where they perceived that someone was being judgmental, of course. Of course, we're projecting, don't forget. What did we just say? What did we read? We said that we send out the messengers, okay? We believe that you judge your brothers by the messages they give you. But you have judged them by the message you give to them. We're projecting our self-judgment onto our brothers and sisters and holding them guilty, literally. So I shared this with that one this morning. And, you know, just in a text message, but I want to read, I want you to pay attention. These two sentences are just beautiful. The love of God is in everything that he created. For his Son is everywhere. So look with peace upon your brothers, and God will come rushing into your heart in gratitude for your gift to him. This is so powerful, so true, just so amazingly true. And I wept this morning after I shared this, because this, I hope, is a gift that I'm giving to my brothers and sisters, that I want to look upon them with peace. Because God definitely comes rushing into my heart. Do not look to this small God of sickness for healing, but only to the God of love. For healing is the acknowledgement of God, of him. Healing is just simply the acknowledgement of God. We wanted to know, how does Jesus instantaneous healing, how is that possible? His disciples, his apostles, everyone around him, we were confused. We're still very confused. How was that possible? We have an entire medical industry now, a huge pharmaceutical industry, medical industry, surgical industry, physician and whatever, that absolutely would, I'm pretty sure would put out some strong words against the idea that you could be healed instantaneously, simply through the acknowledgement of God. We rail against this, the world does, because that is the small God of sickness. But when you acknowledge God, when you acknowledge him, you will know that he has never ceased to acknowledge you. And that in his acknowledgement of you lies your being. In God's acknowledgement of you, he's never forgotten about you, lies your being. This is where your being and why your being is. You are being, you're not God, but you're being all that God is being right there where you are this very now. And all we need to do is acknowledge God. So for me, when I read this, I simply believe and know, and it comes to me that the people that Jesus appeared to be instantaneously healing their physical body, all that was happening was that he knew, right, that he knew of God completely. And he became the voice for God. He let go of this small God of sickness altogether. It wasn't a part of his mind. And so when others came into his presence, he was able to help them in the full appreciation and the full acknowledgement of God, of their very creator. But when you acknowledge God, you will know that he has never ceased to acknowledge you, and that in his acknowledgement of you lies your being. You are not sick, and you cannot die. But you can confuse yourself with things that you do or with things that do appear to be sick and die. Remember, though, that to do this is blasphemy. For it means that you're looking without love on God and his creation. To look on others and to believe in sickness, okay, and death is blasphemy, but it's blasphemy toward yourself. For it means that you are looking without love on God and his creation, from which he cannot be separated. Look with peace upon your brothers, and God will come rushing into your heart in gratitude for your gift to him. When you love your brothers and sisters, you're giving a gift to God. This is so powerful that we grasp this, that we get this morning. Only the eternal can be loved, for love does not die. Only the eternal can be loved, for love does not die. What is of God is his, and it is his forever. And you are of God. You are God's forever and ever in eternity. Would he allow himself to suffer? You are a part of God, a part of his mind. Would he allow himself to suffer when God is love? And would he offer his child, his son, his daughter, anything that is not acceptable to himself, to him, to God? Would he offer you anything that is not acceptable to him since you are a part of him? He is your creator. If you will accept yourself as God created you, you will be incapable of suffering. Yet to do this, you must acknowledge him, God, as your creator. To do this, you must acknowledge God. Acknowledge him as your creator. This is not because you'll be punished otherwise. It's merely because your acknowledgement of your Father is the acknowledgement of yourself as you are. Perfect. Neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. You have not changed what God has created you to be. Your Father created you wholly without sin, wholly without pain, and wholly without suffering of any kind. If you deny him, you bring sin, pain, and suffering into your own mind because of the power he gave it. He gave your mind. Your mind is capable of creating worlds, but can also deny what it creates because it's free to do so. You're free to deny God. You're free to deny your creation. You're free to deny yourself because God gave you the power, the freedom to do that very thing. You do not realize how much you denied yourself and how much God in his love would not have it so. Yet he would not interfere with you because he would not know his child, his son, his daughter. He would not know you if you were not free. To interfere with you would be to attack himself. And God is not insane, but the ego certainly is. To know that is sanity. To know that God is not insane. To know that God will never deny you, and he will never cease loving you, and you will never cease loving him. When you deny God, you are insane. The ego is insane. Would you have him, God, share your insanity? God will never cease to love you, his child, his son, his daughter. And you will never cease to love him. That was the condition of your very creation. Forever, fixed forever in the mind of God, to know that is sanity. To know that is sanity. And to deny it is insanity. Insanity to deny yourself. God gave himself to you in your creation, and his gifts are eternal. Would you deny yourself to him? Out of your gifts to him, the kingdom will be restored to his child, to you. Out of your gifts, and what are our gifts, right? Look with peace upon your brothers, because the love of God is in everything he created. To recognize God in your brothers and sisters is a gift that you're giving to God. Out of your gifts to him, the kingdom will be restored to you, to his child, his son, his daughter. His son removed himself from his, God's gift, by refusing to accept what had been created for him. We denied the kingdom and said, what would it be like if we went out and played God on our own? Let's go out and define what God is being. And we literally, in that insane idea, threw a cloak of darkness over all that God was being and began to define it in our own terms. We removed ourselves from the gift that God has given us by refusing to accept what had been created for us and what he had created in the name and what he had created, that is, the sons and daughters of God. We've created. We're co-creators. We are creators. We have creations, but we created those in the name of our Father. But even those we do not recognize now. So we've removed ourselves from the gift of our Father by refusing to accept what has been created for us and to refusing to accept what we've created in the name of our Father. Heaven waits for your return, my return, for the return of God's children, his son. And heaven was created as the dwelling place of God's son. The mind of God is heaven. You are not at home anywhere else or in any other condition. Do not deny yourself the joy that was created for you, but for the misery that you've made for yourself. God has given you the means for undoing what you've made. Listen. Listen. We talk about this all the time, and we're going to continue to point it out. There's a part of our mind that we call the Holy Spirit in this scripture that is nothing more than your right mind. It's not complicated. It is the answer. The Holy Spirit is the only answer, capital A answer. But you must listen to this part of your mind. Listen, and you will learn how to remember what you are. Because that's nothing more than your right mind. You will begin to remember that that is you. If God knows his children as wholly sinless, it is blasphemous to perceive them as guilty. If God knows his children as wholly without pain, it's blasphemous to perceive suffering anywhere. If God knows his children to be wholly joyous, it's blasphemous to feel depressed. All of these illusions and the many other forms that blasphemy may take are refusals to accept creation as it is. If God created his son, his daughter, his children, that is how you must learn to see them, to learn of their reality. Right here, this is where he's saying, can you hear it? You are neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. You're at that point. And you must see yourself therefrom. That means you must see as well all of yourself, which is all of the brotherhood. It is yourself. There is only one mind. You're perfect. As I continue reading again, if God created his son perfect, and absolutely, indeed, he did, that is how you must learn to see God's children, and you are one, to learn of your reality. If God created his son perfect, that is how you must learn to see him, to learn of his reality. And as part of the sonship, you must see yourself to learn of yours what? Your perfection. To learn of your perfection, you must begin to recognize the perfection within your brothers and sisters, everywhere, all around, everywhere you are. Do not perceive God, did not create, do not perceive anything. God did not create, or you are denying him. His is the only fatherhood, and it is yours only because he has given it to you. Your gifts to yourself are meaningless, but your gifts to your creation are like his because they are given in his name. That is why your creations are as real as his. Yet the real fatherhood must be acknowledged if the real son is to be known. If you are to know yourself, you must remember your creator. Because you and that one are one, you must remember your father. And that must be acknowledged. If you are to know it yourself, if the real son is to be known, you believe that the sick things that you have made are your real creations. They are not. We've made them up. That's not creation. Because you believe that the sick images that you perceive are these sons and daughters of God, the children of God. Only if you accept the fatherhood of God will you have anything, because his fatherhood gave you everything. And that's why to deny God is to deny yourself. To deny yourself of everything that's already yours. Arrogance is the denial of love, because love shares and arrogance withholds. As long as both appear to you to be desirable, the concept of choice, which is not of God, now this is very important, think about this, listen to this. Arrogance is the denial of love because love shares and arrogance withholds. Remember, the ego is always about getting and gathering and holding on to everything that it can possess. As long as both, that is, love and arrogance, as long as both appear to you to be desirable, the concept of choice, which is not of God, God did not create choice, only the knowing of perfect love. The concept of God, which is not of God, will remain with you. While this is not true in eternity, it is true in time. So that while time lasts, in your mind, there will be choices. And time itself is your choice. If you would remember eternity, you must look only on the eternal. If you allow yourself to become preoccupied with the temporal, you're living in time. As always, your choice is determined by what you value. Time and eternity cannot both be real because they contradict each other. If you will accept only what is timeless as real, you will begin to understand eternity and make it yours. Oh my goodness. Isn't this so fantastic? It is so very fantastic. Let's turn to our workbook lesson 101, and you are going to hear a resonance here of what we've just been discussing in chapter 10. Because God's will for me is perfect happiness, you see. God's will for you is perfect happiness. God's will is love. And in love, there is only joy. There is only happiness. Today, we will continue the theme with the theme of happiness, because this is a key idea in understanding what salvation means. Salvation, we've said, is simply the awakening to your true self. Salvation is forgiveness. And that's one and the same. In other words, when we look on our brothers and sisters, we're no longer judging. We're seeing that spark of Christ right there where they are. We're not denying that God has extended himself, herself, right in that one right there. Today, we'll continue with this theme. And this is a key idea in understanding what salvation means. You still believe it asks for something, for suffering, you know, that there's some sacrifice for suffering or penance for your quote-unquote sins. And this is not so. Yet you must think it is so while you believe that sin is real and that God's son, God's child, God's children can sin. If sin is real, then punishment is just and cannot be escaped. How many of us just look in the mirror and believe to ourselves, you know, that we're being punished because we have this belief in sickness, that it's real, and that it can literally strip away our life, and we are victims of a body. This is not so. Yet you must think it is so while you believe that sin is real and that God's children can sin. If sin is real, then punishment is just and cannot be escaped. Salvation, thus, cannot be purchased but through suffering. If sin is real, then happiness must be illusion. They cannot both be true. The sinful warrant only death and pain, and it is this that they seek out, this that they ask for. They know that it waits for them, and it will seek them out. It will seek them out and find them somewhere, sometime, some form that evens the account that they owe to God. They would escape him in their fear, and yet he will pursue, God will, and they cannot escape. This is the logic. This is the reasoning of ego thinking. If sin is real, salvation must be pain, and pain is the cost of sin, and suffering can never be escaped. If sin is real, salvation must be feared, for it will kill, less slowly, taking everything away before it does, before it grants the welcome boon of death to victims who are little more than bones before salvation is appeased. Its wrath is boundless, merciless, and wholly just. Who would seek out such savage punishment? Who would not flee salvation and attempt in every way that this one might to drown the voice which offers it to him? This is the voice, capital V voice, of the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind. And it's drowned out. Screaming voice of insanity. Why would he try to listen? Why would he try to listen, this beautiful child of God, to listen to this, you know, and accept its offering? There must be some sacrifice due. There must be some pain that we must pay, some price. Why would we want to listen to that voice? Why would he try to listen and accept its offering? If sin is real, its offering is death. And met it out in cruel form to match the vicious wishes in which sin is born. If sin is real, salvation has become your bitter enemy, the curse of God upon you, who have crucified his son. We need to practice today. We need to practice getting in touch with our true self. The exercises we talk about today, these exercises teach that sin is not real and that all you believe must come from sin will never happen. It'll never happen, for it has no cause in God. Accept atonement at one moment. Accept atonement with an open mind now, a mind which cherishes no lingering belief that you've made a devil out of God's son. There is no sin. We practice with this thought as often as we can today because it is the host, or excuse me, it is the basis for today's idea. God's will for me is perfect happiness. God's will for me is perfect happiness because there is no sin, and suffering is causeless. Joy is just, and pain is but the sign that you have misunderstood yourself. Joy is just. Fear not the will of God, but turn to it in confidence that it will set you free from all the consequences that sin has wrought in feverish imagination and an imagination that's... So let's just say this today. God's will for me is perfect happiness. There is no sin. It has no consequence. So should you start your practice periods with this statement today and then attempt again to find the joy these thoughts will introduce into your mind. Give these 5 minutes gladly to remove the heavy load that you lay upon yourself with the insane belief that sin is real. Today, escape from madness. You're set on freedom's road now. And now, today's idea brings wings that will speed you on. And hope to go still faster to the waiting goal of peace. There is no sin. Remember this today. And tell yourself as often as you can, God's will for me is perfect happiness. This is the truth. Because only the truth is true. And there is nothing to fear. There is no sin. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, for joining me in this broadcast today. In our practice today, then, let our mind be quiet. And receive the thoughts that our Father offers us. His gift to you is your recognition of his gift to his brothers and sisters. I mean, your brothers and sisters, to his children. Recognize the gift that he's given them, which is what? Their right mind. He's given them a way home. And you can join with that mind in that one and know their perfection. Let's join together in a moment of silence and prayer. We thank you, Father, for your guarantee of only happy outcomes in the end. Help us not to interfere. Help us to let go of the small gods of sickness. Help us to release that back into the nothingness within which it came. Help us, Father, not to interfere, and so to delay the happy endings that you've already promised, that you have made already certain. You promised us for every problem that we can perceive, for every trial we think that we must still meet, you have promised us the reality of love. We come to you with humility and curiosity and an open mind to listen to your voice today in our practice, because we know that you have only willed happiness for us, only love, only what is eternal. And today, we let go of the gods of sickness as we turn to your voice, Father, nothing more than our right mind, the comforter, the guide, the teacher, the Holy Spirit. And we ask in your name, Father, to remove the obstacles to the awareness of the presence of love within our minds. Thank you, Father. Amen. I love you, brothers and sisters, and we'll be back tomorrow morning.
Hello again, dearly beloved and mighty companions. This is your host, Tony Williamson, saying once again, thanks so much for joining us on today's episode of The Best Hour. If you'd like to reach me directly, you can find me at tony@truethoughtministry.com. That's T-O-N-Y @truethoughtministry.com. And if you go to www.truethoughtministry.com, you can join our email list there as well. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Thanks so much, my brothers and sisters. God bless.